Hey, welcome to episode number 286 of the podcast More Than Bread and number 36 of our series for Lent. I know Lent is over, but like I told you earlier, I'm a liturgical mutt, so we're continuing our series for Lent. I hope you had a great resurrection weekend. We did at Calvary. I'm still kind of processing all that God did this last weekend. I may share a bit more in the days to come, but for now, let me just set some context for the next handful of episodes. Jesus rose again on Sunday. It was 40 days from his resurrection to his ascension. That's when he went back up to heaven. And multiple times over those days, he met with his followers, teaching them about the kingdom of God and what was to come next and all of that. 40 days after the resurrection, we had the ascension. Jesus left to go back to heaven. He had to leave so that he could send the Holy Spirit. That's one of the most important days that we don't, at least in our church stream, we don't celebrate all that much or all that well. But the implications and the importance of the ascension are huge. And then 10 days after the ascension was Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit of God in the book of Acts. So we're going to do at least 5 more episodes in this series. Each one will bring us to a moment in the life of Jesus before his ascension, before he returned to heaven. It won't be day by day like the last week of Jesus' life, but we'll hit some important points that happened in the days between the resurrection and the ascension and Pentecost. But in this episode, I just kind of want to take it all in. Just coming out of Resurrection Sunday and Holy Week, we're just going to take a few moments and ponder how amazing Jesus is. The resurrected Jesus, how amazing Jesus is, not was, but is. So let me just start by asking the question, what amazes you? How many times have you used the word, that's amazing, or I am amazed? I don't know. Perhaps we use those words too frequently to describe matters that are only slightly irregular or somewhat surprising. I remember a while back, just for fun, I Googled the phrase, I am amazed. I think Google found 3,860,000 plus or minus instances of somebody saying, I'm amazed. Andy was amazed at the high price of hotels in Mumbai, and Richard was amazed at how Buttstop had cleaned up his apartment complex. Buttstop was a cigarette disposal unit. Ed was amazed that the Lone Star State still allows paddling as a disciplinary tool. I went back through some of my sermons to be reminded of where I've used the word amazing. I was reminded that I was amazed by a string ball that at least at that time stood 11 feet tall, measured about 40 feet around, and weighed 8.7 tons. Francis Johnson spent 29 years winding twine into a ball that, like the Energizer Bunny, just kept on growing and growing from 1950 to 1974. Isn't that amazing? We use the word for so many just kind of slightly irregular matters, but something should truly amaze us. Every time I see a little baby, like my newest grandkids, Theo and Livy, when I see them sleep or walk or make a sound like they're speaking, I say, God, that is so amazing. There are times when Lynn and I are out for a drive in Pennsylvania, when we're out late at night looking up at the stars, where we're just saying, my goodness, God, what an amazing view. Your creation is amazing. I get these amazing views of what God can do around here all the time. This last weekend at Way of the Cross, I was talking to a young man. It was his third time there. The very first time he came, he said he was an alcoholic. He'd been drinking and drinking and drinking, and he nailed his drink into the cross. We had an exercise there. He said he hadn't drank since then. Last year he came, he said he nailed profanity to the cross. The God stories that we listened to this last weekend, some that I heard from you, the last few weeks of the NYXT initiative, our initiative at Calvary, some of the stories I've heard of people taking steps of generosity have just caused me to go, God, that is so amazing. But do you know what's even more amazing? God wants to be with us. It's always been God's desire to be with us, to walk with us, to love us, to lead us, to shape and empower us, to just be with us. And so he came to us. This is amazing. That's why Jesus is amazing. Jesus is the visible image of God. Jesus is God in the flesh coming to us, showing us the face of God and the heart of God and the hand of God and the power of God. And all through his life, that was a word that people used when talking about Jesus. Amazing. But for them, the word amazing meant more like to be overwhelmed, bordering on fear and awe, knee-quaking amazement, heart-expanding awe, mind-bending wonder. Let me just list a few of the places where people were amazed. It started with his birth. His birth was amazing. I mean, imagine being one of the first to hear the story from a group of common shepherds, a story with warrior angels exploding in the sky and trips to Bethlehem to see a baby born in a stable, a mother who's still a virgin, a father who is not yet a father, a baby who is to be a savior, the Messiah, the King. All who heard, in Luke chapter 2, verse 18, it says, all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. It's another word for amazing. And it wasn't just his birth. I mean, later his words would amaze people. His teaching was amazing. And it's no wonder he is the Word of God. When he gave his disciples the opportunity to leave him, Peter said, where would we go, Jesus? You have the words of life. Time after time, when Jesus had an opportunity to share his wisdom with people, it would end as Matthew recorded it in Matthew 7, verse 28. It says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Jesus was a great teacher, a rabbi, leader without peer, but as a religious leader, people were often amazed by not just his words, but his miracles. His miracles were amazing. And in Matthew chapter 15, verses 30 and 31, it says, a vast crowd brought him the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others with physical difficulties. And they laid them before Jesus and he healed them all. And it says, and the crowd was amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak were talking, and the crippled were made well, the lame were walking around, and those who had been blind, they could see again. Amazing. Not simply because it was a display of power, but amazing because it was also a revelation of who he is, the creator, the author of life, the redeemer, restorer, savior. And if you would have been there, I guarantee you, you would have said, that guy's amazing. Like the disciples, like Peter said, that time when they were out on a boat and a storm came, this wicked demonic storm, seasoned fishermen, experienced sailors, fearful, so fearful, waves higher than a house tossed them back and forth, wind drove the rain horizontal. It was a tie yourself to the mast and kiss your boat goodbye kind of storm until Jesus woke up from his nap and spoke to the storm and said, be still. And Peter, what did Peter say? Who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And Peter was amazed. But you know what? It wasn't just his miracles. It was his love. The Apostle Paul was amazed by the love and grace of Jesus that knocked him off his camel onto his knees, rocked his world and changed his life so much. He had to change his name. And one day he wrote to his friends, I'm praying for you, Ephesians 3:19. I'm praying that you would experience the love of Christ, though it is so great, you will never fully understand it. Do you understand what Paul is saying? His love is amazing. It's beyond amazing. Jesus' love led him to touch lepers and forgive prostitutes. His love led him to give Peter a promotion after he betrayed him three times. His love was the only nails that held his hands and feet to a Roman cross. And wasn't it actually the power of love that rolled away the stone? I mean, Easter is empowered by love. And his resurrection, we just celebrated this. His resurrection was amazing. You see, what we celebrate on Easter is the beginning of a movement of people who began to believe, at least in part because of the resurrection, that Jesus was the one, that Jesus is the one. In Luke 24, 22, it says, then some of the women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. As that report went out and people began to meet the resurrected Jesus, as people began to realize that Jesus was let loose in the world again, the amazement just grew, because the message of Easter is that amazing stuff happens when Jesus is let loose. What happens when Jesus is let loose? When Jesus is let loose, people change. The world changes. And I tell you, something was let loose that day, the day Jesus was raised from the dead. Something was let loose, and it began an amazing, unstoppable transformation in the followers of Jesus. And it didn't stop there, from hidden cowards to world changers, ready to give their all for Jesus. Let me just read a description of what happened. It's kind of hidden in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. I'm going to read it from the New International Version. And at least in part, it's a prayer. It's a prayer for each and every one of us. Here's what Paul says. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him even better. And I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, would be opened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in every age to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. I mean, what an amazing prayer, but don't miss the line in Paul's prayer where he prays that we would know the incomparably great power that is available for those who believe. And what power is it? Paul says it is the same power that God exerted when he raised Jesus from the dead. Do you understand? Resurrection power has been let loose in the world. It's like this viral outbreak of Easter. In fact, one day, not long after Jesus' death and resurrection, Peter and John were called to appear before the Sanhedrin. This was the religious leaders of Israel. They were the same ones who had rejected Jesus all the way to the cross. Peter and John were in trouble because they had healed a lame man and also because they were filling Jerusalem with people who were amazed by Jesus. The religious leaders told Peter and John to just stop it or else, and Peter and John told them, bring it on. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men who had no special training. And here's the part I love in Acts 4:13, it says, and they also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Listen, whenever Jesus is let loose, there is an outbreak of Easter among people who spend time with Jesus. That's what happened 2,000 years ago. There was an outbreak of Easter. It transformed people and it changed the world. This outbreak of Easter gave us a picture of true life, life immersed in the very Spirit of God, life lived, life filled with expectation and hope, life lived in a community of people who practiced extreme generosity and courageous love, life that gives us a reason for living. And I don't know, perhaps the greatest Easter challenge I could give us, even on the Monday after the Sunday, is that we might pray for an outbreak of Easter here in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our families, in our church. Just pray Ephesians 1. It's a prayer for an outbreak of Easter. Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be open so that you would know the hope to which he has called you. See, that's what Easter is all about. Jesus is let loose, and there's this power beyond your wildest dreams from a never-ending source, giving us the ability and capability to be like Jesus, to become servants. It's the power to sing when we're put into prison and to forgive those who hurt us, to be bold about our faith. It's the power to keep on giving to families that never seem to stop receiving, to make it through tragedies, to transform our ordinary routines. It's the power to start over every day. It's resurrection power. Can you imagine what would happen if we truly had an outbreak of Easter in the places where we live and play and work? When God let Jesus loose on the earth, people were amazed. They were amazed at his birth and at his life and his teaching and his miracles and his compassion. Amazing. I mean, what if because of resurrection power, what if because of an outpouring of the Spirit of God, Jesus was let loose through each of us, just like he was let loose on Resurrection Sunday, just like he was let loose at Pentecost? I love that description in the book of Acts. It says, and later, they were gathered in a large meeting, and about 120 of them. They had been praying for days. They'd been praying for days, not for minutes, not once a week for an hour. They'd been praying for days. And the Spirit of God came, and they heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and they saw tongues of fire resting on each person. And you know what God was saying? God was saying, now I'm letting Jesus loose again. And it was an amazing time. And it really happened. The small community of people discovered hope and power, the power of the Spirit, resurrection power, and they started to live like Jesus. They started to serve like Jesus. And people in general liked what they saw because they'd never seen anything like this. I mean, tell these people to keep quiet. They could not stop talking about Jesus. Throw them into prison and the jailer becomes a follower of Jesus. Whip them. They sing hymns. Try to starve them and you find them sharing their stuff with people who had even less. Hate them and you get loved. Hurt them, they forgive. Kill them and 100 other people rise up to take their place, serving the poor, empowering the weak, giving refuge to the weary and wisdom to the confused and hope to the discouraged. And people were amazed. They called Jesus' followers the people who turned the world upside down. And I'm telling you, Jesus was amazing. He is still amazing. And can I just say this? If you're listening and you're a little bit skeptical because you just don't find Jesus to be all that amazing, would you please accept my humble apologies? Because if Jesus isn't amazing you, it's probably because some of us aren't living for him. Because I'm telling you, Jesus is still amazing. In Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, it said, God placed all things under his feet, appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body. He fills everything in every way. He is the visible representation of the invisible God. See, Jesus had this plan. The plan is that Jesus' followers everywhere would be his body, his heart, his hands, his feet, and that through us, he would be let loose to transform people and amaze the world again and again and again. That's the Easter strategy. Let Jesus loose. See, if I were to ask you on Monday, an ordinary day, the day after Sunday, the question, where's your church? Most of us would reply, well, we go to church at, fill in the blank. We'd give an address. Where do you go to church is our question, as though Jesus is a place, but that's the wrong answer. Here's the correct answer. On Monday, our church is nursing someone back to health at Mount Nittany and teaching an English class to someone who doesn't know English very well, serving dinner to an elderly neighbor. On Monday, our church is riding in a police car and being a chaplain and painting a house and leading a small group of disciples. On Monday, our church is tutoring children and giving a senior citizen a ride to the grocery store. Our church is praying for a dorm floor and teaching math at the university. Our church is sitting at Panera with a woman or a man whose marriage is crumbling and just needs a friend. See, on the weekend, we gather to worship and encourage each other, and that's good stuff. But on Monday, we become the church. We scatter. We let Jesus loose. I'm telling you, that's even gooder stuff. Can I tell you what Easter is not all about? Easter is not all about how many people we can get in the building on Sunday. Easter is not all about the minimal entrance requirements to get into heaven when you die. Easter is all about the kingdom of God coming to earth while you live now. Easter is Jesus saying, now it's here and you can join. Easter is all about spreading heaven on earth, being living proof of a loving God. Easter is good news now, today, on Monday. In fact, Easter is good news for people who don't even believe in Easter, because when people get it and become Jesus followers, when an outbreak of Easter happens and people start to serve, it makes life better for your neighbors, your coworkers, your classmates, your friends. Easter in you will be good news for the people that you work with. And in fact, if Easter isn't good news for everybody, I'm not sure if it's good news for anybody. The church is not just a religious services provider. The mission of the church is not just to make sure that everything is nice for the people inside our walls while the rest of the world goes to hell. On the weekend, the body of Christ gathers. Yesterday, Resurrection Sunday, the body of Christ gathered, and it was good. But on Monday, we let Jesus loose. Resurrection power has been let loose in the earth. Go spread heaven on earth. Do it today. Father God, I pray for each and every person listening on this Monday or whatever day they find themselves listening. God, would you empower us by your Spirit? Would you convict us by your Spirit? Would you give us hope? Would you give us compassion? Would you let us live in such a way that people see Jesus in us? God, get rid of the rough edges. Get rid of the sin. Get rid of the the arrogance and get rid of the selfishness and the greed, God, so that people can see Jesus in us. That's what we want. We want people to see Jesus in us. God, would you let us somehow, in some way, tie into, dive into the resurrection power that you've made available, that you've let loose in the world. And we pray, God, we pray that in the days to come, there would be a resurrection revolution. God, thank you for all these things. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.